It's great to be here. I'm going to preach to you today on Isaiah. And pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for another wonderful Sunday. You've given us so many wonderful Sundays. What an incredible message this morning we heard about the spirit of this world. And then a beautiful face-to-face service, Lord, honoring Pastor Jeff and loving the family. It's just great to participate in just one day here, Lord. We thank you for that. And bless these words in your name. Amen. Isaiah 48. A couple days ago, I was reading it. I just knew if I get asked to preach them, this is what I'm talking about. That was like maybe, I don't know, Wednesday last week or something. I don't remember exactly, but... And here we are. If I can find Isaiah. Here we go. Verse 1, I'm just going to read the chapter if that's okay with you. Verse 1, are you with me? Anybody else having trouble with, like me, finding Isaiah? Hear ye this, O house of Jacob. Let's might as well say, hear ye this, insert your name. It's written for us. It's written for them, but it's written for us. It's a summoning of the house of Jacob, but it's also something that has to be said directly to me. What does he want us to hear? Verse 3, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. And I showed them, I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. What is it that God has declared? What has he announced? What comes out of his mouth to us? What has he shown us? What does he do? Right away, you get a little excited. It's just the beginning of the chapter, and I'm already excited. God wants to tell me something. God wants to show me something. I think he always wants to tell me something, and he always wants to show me something. It's beautiful. What is his great message? We know that in these chapters, it's about the children of Israel who have been captured and dragged away. Is it about a trial? Is it about teaching them a lesson? Is it about punishment? Read verse 4 with me, because I knew that thou art proud, stubborn. Yep, that's us. Whatever God wants to show, whatever God wants to declare, whatever he wants to say, he wants to say it because we have trouble hearing him, because we are proud and we are stubborn, and it's not getting through to me. Verse 5, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee. Remember, this is a passage about the exile, but it was written 150 years prior to it actually happening. So God is showing them something before it's going to happen. Why? Lest you would say, my idol has done them. I wonder if that's why trials happen to us. They happen to us. If we were to know about them ahead of time and kind of figure our way through it, we would say, I got through it. Another word for idol is me. I showed this to you ahead of time. I'm predicting that this will happen to you. I'm prophesying that this is going to happen to you. It's going to happen. It's my plan. It's my will for your life, a trial. And you won't be able to say, I got through it. Because I told you ahead of time. And he's telling us ahead of time. There'll be trials in our life. Before it came to pass, I show you. He has abundantly demonstrated over and over again his faithfulness in our trial. We would give credit to ourselves, wouldn't we? And God has kind of taken that card away from the Jews. With this passage and these chapters here. And it's the same for us. If a trial comes our way, we're not going to be able to say, I got through it. I made it. On my own two feet, I did it. Verse 6, thou hast heard, see all this. Will you not declare it? You didn't declare it. You've been through trials before. You didn't declare it. You've seen my faithfulness, and you didn't declare it. So, if I can add that word, so I have shown thee a new thing, a new trial. Trials will always seem new to us. They always feel like a betrayal, a stab in the back, a shock. By design, God ordains trials to be this way. They have to be this way. Otherwise, we would say, I'm prepared. I can get through this on my own. I'm bracing myself. Whatever you're bracing yourself for in life, I don't know how you do that. I guess put money in the bank, or I don't know how you brace yourself for trials, but it won't work. It'll be a new kind of trial. You have heard, but you have not declared it. Therefore, I will show you a different way, a new way to get through to you, because you're stubborn. I love this whole talking. I love how the trial is part of God's plan. Nothing else. The trial is part of God's way for me. That's it. This is how God is talking, and this is how he's ministering to us. The trial is Babylon. It's exile, it's captivity, it's slavery, it's suffering. What God wants to declare to us is not actually the trial itself, but what happens in the trial. His declaration, what comes out of his mouth, what he will show me, will happen at its highest peak in my life. In the most relevant, in the most beautiful way, it'll happen in a trial. We're here, and if there wasn't a trial in my life, it would go bad. I would not see him the way I see him in a trial. A new way. It hits us in the way we least expected. Verse 7, they are created now. Imagine that. A trial from the mind of God for my life and for your life. Orchestrated perfectly in time now. When a trial happens, what do we say? You know, we're whining, complaining, why is this happening to me? We're giving all kinds of reasons. We talk our way through it, our mouths running a mile a minute. But actually, God ordained it. They are created now, even from the beginning, even before the day when you heard them not, lest you would say, I knew them. There's no room for me here. There's no room for me. I can't have any self-confidence in these trials. It's all about God. Predicted 150 years ago for them and predicted a million years ago for us. God ordained now for this moment. It's not something you know or something you can handle. We'll skip to verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. The trial is not really about punishment, is it? Not in this chapter, not anywhere. It's not really about getting what you deserve. What is it? What is it for? It's not about God's anger. It's not about any of that. It doesn't sound anything actually like a trial when you read that verse. It's not about punishment. This is really our good rule, rule number one. Don't make the trial about yourself. It's about the name of God. The name of God. For my name's sake, you will go through this. To glorify me. To find me. You will be a testimony for God in the trial. And for my praise sake, you and your trial, it'll happen, and it'll be for the praise of God. It's beautiful. Verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, not with silver. This sounds more like a trial. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Ouch. That sounds like a trial. Not with silver. You know, I think sometimes we think that we can find a way out of problems or prevent problems with silver. But we can't be fixed with silver. We're way too stubborn. We have way too many problems. We need way more than just a little bit of money to fix me. It's much worse than that. We need a trial, a furnace of affliction. You can't buy your way out of this trial. Our trials are like a refinery. And you are the substance that's being refined. God is torching us sometimes. Verse 11 again, for my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. I love that. God is showing that he is in my trial for his sake. I am not interested in my thoughts about the trial. I want to know what God is doing. It's not about setting us straight. Our trials are to express the nature of God. Imagine that. A trial just to show who God is. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful thought. His name will not be polluted. I would like to say it differently. If I don't go through trials, then I will pollute his name. I think it's quite a thought, but many ways. First and foremost, because I'll forget who he is. And whatever I am, I will not be revealing Christ to people in my life. And second, I will not show his faithfulness to me. And third, I will not show his grace, his precious grace. The whole point of the trial of Babylon is to reveal the nature of God, his gracious, faithful mercy, every day, all the time. I will not give my glory to another. That's rule number two. Don't make it about another person. Remove the person out of the trial. It's about God. It's not about you, and it's not about another person or situation. Don't change it. Don't change it. Make it about the glory and the nature of God. I don't care how hard. I have not gone through everything, and I have not suffered everything, I know. But I know these words are true. They're always true. Verse 12, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel. I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. Hearken unto me, it's a commandment. In the trial, listen. Just listen. Find him and listen. I love this word also. I am he, I am first, I also am the last. In a trial, it's great that you are first, but what I need is for you to be the last. At the end of the day, no matter how hard the trial is, there he is, Jesus, right there with me, all the time. Make your trial about him. All you need to know in a trial is that he is first, and that he is also last. He'll have the final say. He'll give the final comfort. He'll give the final blessing to us. He'll give the final love. In the end, he will shine brightly in our life. Verse 13, my hand also has he laid the foundations of the earth, and with my right hand he has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. Verse 14, all ye assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them has declared these things? This is rule number, whatever we are, three or four. I hear it all the time. Honestly, I haven't even really been a pastor of a church, or I haven't even been a pastor that long, 10 years. But I hear it all the time. I'm, you know, in a trial, I'm just going to stay away for a while. I'm not going to assemble. I'm going to stay away for a while. Big mistake. Big mistake. Draw near in a trial. It's a rule. Assemble together. assemble together even more in a trial. The worst thing you can do is not go to church. And then second, hear. But not just hear, declare it. Declare what? Him, his nature. Jesus, his faithfulness. Smack dab in the middle of a trial. Praise him even if you don't feel like it. Declare him even if you don't feel like it. You know, by faith, we say these things. Verse 16, come near unto me. I love that part. Come near to me. This is what God's trying to do. Find me and get very close to me. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am. And now the Lord God and the Spirit has sent me. I think I read about 10 commentaries on this verse. And because many really think that this reflects Christ. Some don't, but for me it just has to be Christ. It's always about Jesus anyway, so I am now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Who else could it be? It's about Jesus. Come ye near unto me. Jesus has sent us in the middle of a trial and he's there with us. That's another rule. Find Jesus. Do whatever you can to find him in your trial. You have access. You have not been denied. It's his desire. It is not a secret. I have not spoken in secret. You know, I remember thinking that all this stuff was like a mystery to me. You know, when you're young and you're trying to understand, sitting like you in the audience and you have no idea what Dr. Stevens is talking about. And the Bible seems confusing to you. The fault does not lie with God. He is not a secret. What he has for us is not a secret. And the problem is on my end, you know, effects of the fall, stubbornness, sin. You know, I want my own way, my own things. But God is right there for us. And once we break through and we find him in our trial, now we're getting somewhere. Once we see clearly, once the blindness fades away and we see Jesus, it's a beautiful thing. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teaches you to profit. Jesus Christ teaching me in the middle of a trial how to profit, how to abound, how to make it like you made it in life. Not through money or other ways, not through self-confidence, but I got Jesus. I'm okay. And which leadeth me by the way that I should go, a direction. He has taught us personally in a trial, and he leads us in a trial. Verse 18, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river. It's quite a thing to say about peace. It's quite a promise. That peace could be like a river in my life. I wrote a bunch of things down about rivers. Stole a bunch of things from others. Not peace like a puddle. Not peace like a little bit of dampness. Not peace like a tiny brook. Peace like a river. A river that's carved its way forward and knows its path and knows exactly where it's going. It never dries up in droughts. It never drains. It never has lack. It never stops flowing. It never alters off its course. It never goes backwards. Never hesitates. Never gets distracted by whatever's flying by on its shore. Never gets anxious about where it will be taken or where it's going or what its destiny is. It knows. It flows. Not lost, confused, disorientated. It knows this way. Sweeping, curving, majestically through our life. Peace. Like a huge river, an Amazon flowing through my life. A powerful current, a massive in volume. the definition of fullness, flowing in my life. I'm speaking about it to you as much as in faith as I am in experience. I mean, you know, we're all learning, but I believe these words. Peace like a river in a trial. As it's flowing, always mirroring the blue sky during the day and the stars at night, reflecting its creator, reflecting Christ. This kind of peace, a peace that's simply content to flow. And in the end, approaching with eagerness an ocean. And it flows into the ocean where it finds harmony and oneness and unity. And it disappears into the ocean and becomes one with the ocean. And it loses its name and it loses its identity. Every little drop of the Amazon River disappears and is no longer the Amazon as soon as it gets to Christ. And this is us. By definition, in the Bible, peace is like a river in our life. An incredible promise. And many of us have felt a little bit of that peace. A little steadiness in our life. A little assuredness of where we're going, what we're doing. The world gets a temporary peace through distractions. A Buddhist tries to find peace within itself. He sits on a rock or whatever they do, and searches deep inside for peace. But it is limited to itself. It's like stagnant water compared to the river of peace that we are promised. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. A Muslim tries to attain peace through morality or discipline or whatever. It's not there. It's something outside of us. It's Jesus Christ flowing through my life in the middle of the worst thing that could possibly happen. We have this peace. And then the second sentence, and thy righteousness as waves of the sea. Just imagine, we've all seen it. We've all sat on the beach and just been amazed by the waves crashing one after another endlessly. And you sit there and wonder, were they doing this the same way yesterday and the day before that and last year and 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago? Is this all the sea does over and over again, wave after wave of righteousness in our life? A pounding of righteousness. Consistent, almost overwhelming, powerful, beautiful waves of righteousness. F.B. Myers wrote about this in his book about Isaiah. God's intent was never that his righteousness would ebb. He never intended for us to be without righteousness. Not even for a moment. We would always be hit with wave after wave of God's righteousness. There would be no gaps, no diminishing, no withdrawal. Despite circumstances, despite sin, despite failure, despite doubt, what I have in my life is the righteousness that hits me wave after wave. And it is not my righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus. And it never ends, and it is not lacking. In the next chapter, will a woman forget her child? Yes. But we've been written in the palm of his hand, and it never stops. Another quote from F.B. Myers, level your life to your light. What's the light in us? It's Christ and his righteousness. And I have to level up my life to it. I have to understand it. And in the middle of our trial, I have this beautiful knowledge, this beautiful securing knowledge of righteousness that overwhelms us and gives us this beautiful peace. Verse 19, thy seed also has been like the sand, and thy offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. Fruit. The whole thing is God's plan for my life. ordained long ago a trial for me in my life, whatever it is. We're all experiencing this at different times in different ways. And that trial was to bring us closer to Him and to give us peace and smack dab in the middle of it, understand and know His righteousness. And when we do, when we are so close to Him, when we feel Him, when we know He is with us, when we feel almost indestructible, dare I say it, fruit. All that misery, all that pain, all that slavery, all that walking through the desert to Babylon and back. What is the result? Fruit. That's another rule. You shall know Him by His fruit. And fruits are brought into place through trials. And if someone has a lot of fruit in their life, they've been through a lot of trials. At least that's my observation. Fruit is evidence of making it through trials. Verse 20, go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. It's a summons of Exodus. This is another lesson. Don't stay there. Don't stay in the trial. You know, we all need time, and we all need patience, and we all need a season there. But God never meant for us to live there, to live in our trial forever, to get used to it as if it's normal. We were made for victory. We were made to come out and flourish. Verse 21, and they thirsted not when they led them through the desert. One commentary said that an interesting observation about Jews. They had the trial out of Egypt in the desert, and it did not stop them from worshiping idols. And throughout the judges and throughout the kings, wave after wave of invasions and trials, and everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry invading them. And none of it stopped them from worshiping idols. The very next thing, a few chapters later, or if that, you know, it goes bad again and they start worshiping images. But when it comes to Babylon, it was over. There's no history, no record that the Jews ever became idol worshipers again. They were healed from that in Babylon. 7 years. And they came out and they were fruitful. It's just a beautiful meditation of God's plan for our lives. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with His plan, whatever it is, Lord. I say by faith, Lord, help me. We trust You. And I can't wait to find You in the trial. Amen.
Oh, yes. Great word, wasn't it? Boy, that's a really rich meditation. We'll do a wrap later, but right now let's do a little mini wrap. So just with your notes or just in your meditation or with your neighbor, go over that chapter for a few moments and what really stuck out. I like it, like trials are ordained of God. You know, trials are ordained of God. And then what did the Lord say to the Jews about those trials? All right, so go ahead. Okay, come on up for the closing song. As they come up, let's do a short outline. Number one, trials are from God. Trials are part of our life, you know. Number two, he was telling the Jewish people that he's going to put them in a furnace of affliction and that they shouldn't turn to idols. But he's the one that's telling them ahead of time, I'm the one putting you in Babylon. And that happens later, like 100 years later. Was it 100? 120? 150. All right, so then he also says, like, don't draw away in the trial. I like that part. Don't draw away and say, you know, I'm suffering or I'm in trouble and I just want to disappear. But it says, assemble yourselves. It's verse 14 of that chapter. Oh, ye, assemble yourselves and hear which among them has declared these things. Like, no idols has ever declared these things. I am God. I can declare them before they happen. And you can trust me because I'm going to lead you through it. And then that verse where he says, I am the first and also I am the last. Like, I'm the all-encompassing God. Isn't that good? I liked what the message selection tonight and what the Spirit is saying, because we have the chapter there now for us to learn through the week. And also we've been speaking about how trials are God's will. And to be honest, I'm sometimes a little bit afraid of them, but I'm comforted tonight to believe that if God sends me one, he will also send me the way, you know, the solution, the answer, the way to live, the way to think. And then he said, and your peace will be like a river. And, you know, I used to live in a big city next to a river that was the Danube. And the Danube cut through Budapest. And in World War II, there was fierce fighting there, the Nazis fighting the communists. And bombs were landing and everything. But that peace, that river had peace all the time through the war. It was the same river. And it had peace through every trial. You will have peace that goes with you. And I like what he said, the depth of that peace, you know. You know, that's beautiful. And then the righteousness, without question, just keeps coming and coming to us, because that's who God is. That was a good, great message, wasn't it? I enjoyed it. That was so good. Thank you so much, Pastor. Beautiful. All right, let's stand and sing. Salvation Call, did we do that?
No, I'm sorry.
Did you want to do it?
Sure. I always forget that part, sorry. Most important part. Bow your heads with me. It's incredible that these words were directed towards us. And the hope in them, there's so much hope in them. And that hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, we have to start there. You must receive him into your heart. Start the journey of peace in your life by receiving Jesus Christ in your heart. Pray. Ask for him. And he will come to you. If you've said that prayer, you can raise your hand here tonight. Or if you've done it online, you can email us or let us know. Or you can let somebody know afterwards also. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your peace. Amen.